Alone, Dr. Carl Moret did a masterful job of laying out his beliefs and theories about what he calls dirty energy. But something was missing on that program. What was it? Ah, yes, an alternative viewpoint. World-famous scientist Richard B. Luther II contends that Dr. Moret's assertions are based on non-scientific data and selective interpretation, and he has a totally opposite viewpoint based on non-scientific data and selective interpretation that he intends to present to you on the next KSCO special this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on Now That We've Depressed and Scared the Bleep Out of You, It's Only Right for Us to Make You Feel Warm and Fuzzy Radio, AM 1080 KSCO. How is it your favorite radio station rates to have such high power people as guests? One right after another, no less. All right, it's 9 past 10 a.m. on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. It's MZ with the Saturday special. And I am pleased. No, I am honored to introduce Richard B. Luther II.
Well, good morning.
Hi, Richard B. Luther II. How are you? You've been on the air once or twice here before, but not
once
very much.
Or twice. Yes.
Right. Now you have an armload of credentials. You worked for the most impressive agencies like NASA, for example. Right.
Well, yes, I did in my long and distinguished career, but I'm retired now, so that's all in the past.
So wait a minute. Well, tell us a little bit about your past anyhow, if you wouldn't mind, because we want to set the stage for this discussion. You heard the last Saturday special, and it drove you crazy, because there was only one point of view presented about the danger of microwave radiation, cell phones and cordless phones in particular, that it's all part of our daily lives, mine in particular. And it seemed like everybody was in line with and agreeing with Dr. Carl Moret, who was here last week to alert all of us to the dangers and hazards of all of these microwave and radio frequency parts of the world.
Yes, indeed. And I did listen to the show, and partially because seemed a little upset about what he was inferring. And so I did listen to the show and was a little bit surprised that his viewpoint, definitely not the mainstream. I hesitate to use the word lunatic fringe, but let's say he represents a minority viewpoint, and no one really challenged him or offered any alternative viewpoints on the show. Everyone seemed to be buying into it. I guess the listeners that didn't tuned away, or at least they didn't call in. So I decided to look into it a little bit.
Had you tried to call in yourself, or were the phone lines jammed? Because we did have quite a number of phone calls last week.
Well, yeah, I didn't. I came out and looked at the board, and I could see there was a lot of calls queued up, so I decided not to call in. But, you know, your guest was knowledgeable and articulate, neither one of which I am. So I decided maybe it would be better if I did.
Oh, you're very knowledgeable and very articulate,
well,
Richard B. Luther. Point of disclosure here. Richard works with Billy and our staff here at KSCO, keeping your favorite radio station on the air. And there's something going wrong literally every minute of every day. And Richard knows what he's doing when it comes to RF. Anything having to do with radio frequency, Richard's the man. And so that's why, when he expressed some concern about an alternative point of view not being expressed on the Saturday special, I invited him to come on to this Saturday special. So that's why. So Richard and I go back a long time. Golly, probably, what, 30
40 years?
35, 40 years, actually.
We became acquainted with each other in the early 70s with a ham radio operator, repeater station, I think. WR6AOK.
In San Lorenzo Valley.
Yeah. Great. So, in any case, back to the discussion here.
Well, indeed, I've been involved with radio for over 50 years, so I feel... you know, if anyone was going to have any ill effects from radiation, it'd certainly be me. But I digress. I decided to do a little research after the show. As I said, I'm not real knowledgeable about this, but I decided I was going to become knowledgeable. And your guest last week made a couple of statements that made me wonder. He said 75% of the research he'd done supported his viewpoint. Well, the key word there being the research that he looked at, you know, so I decided to go on the internet and look at some research myself. And of course, I found that 75% of the research I looked at supported my viewpoint. So you can make the statistics tell you anything you want. You know, it depends on how you word your searching on the internet, what kind of things are going to pop up. But let's stipulate that my research was somewhat limited to non-scientific research, and I applied a little selective interpretation of the data myself. But let's talk about it, I guess. The first thing that came to mind when I was listening to the show was the research itself on rats or humans or whatever. So I decided to take a look and see what was out there on the internet for us common folks to review. And there's quite a bit of research out there. And two names came up in the searches. Dr. Ross Addy, William Ross Addy, he's deceased now. And he did a lot of research on the effects of electromagnetic radiation on the brains, on brain cells. And your guest last week quoted some of that. But there were some other interesting ones. Also, the name of Royal Rife came up. And he was an advocate of healthful effects of electromagnetic radiation and built some machines, Rife machines, that supposedly cured cancer, cured the common cold, cured all sorts of things. I don't think any of his research was really verified independently. But there's a proliferation of Rife machines on the internet these days. Many of
is
which
it, is it R-I-F as in Frank E?
R-I-F-E, yes.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so there's a lot of Rife machines. You can buy them on the internet. And there's a lot of stories about Rife machines, which I won't get into right now. Don't want to talk about pyramids today. Anyway, one of the interesting studies from Ross Addy had to do with the window effect. And what he found was that electromagnetic radiation at low levels has relatively little effect, and even at high levels, relatively little effect. But there is a certain spot in the middle where you do see effects. And they call this the window effect. So power levels and frequencies in the window cause certain effects, chemistry effects on the brain that your guest last week described in detail, which I won't go into. But they found that power levels below that and power levels above that did not produce those effects. So there's a small window. And we have to be careful when we're looking at the research. Were they doing research with power levels and frequencies in that window or outside the window? Okay, so the first study I looked at was presented by Dr. Addy in the 1996 Bioelectromagnetic Society annual meeting in Victoria, British Columbia. I can read my writing here. And in that presentation, he talked about his study of excessive cell phone radiation on rats. And he used a control group of rats, all born in the same litter, all eating the same food, all drinking the same water. Some of them he exposed to radiation, and some of them he didn't. And the results of this survey, surprisingly, that the rats in the control group had a greater incidence of brain cancer than the ones that were exposed to the cell phone radiation. So, interesting. The cell phone companies, of course, want to jump on this kind of research. And the thing you got to remember here is what kind of research was he doing? Addy, you'll see his name come up in the literature quite frequently, associated with the CIA. They funded most of this research, and they were attempting to determine if weapons could be made from electromagnetic energy, use microwaves to destroy the brain. Like the movie Mars Attacks, remember the yodeling that blew up the Martians? Well, they wanted a machine that would do this. And his research basically showed that, you know, you couldn't do that, that the higher power levels don't cause more damage, that they cause less. And so...
Wait a minute. Does that make sense?
Well, it does. If you think about it, this particular study with the rats, of course, was outside the window. You know, they weren't looking at in the window.
What do you mean in the window? What window?
The window effect, at certain power levels you can cause brain damage with microwaves. But at power levels above and below that, there is no brain damage.
So it has to almost be in resonance with the brain frequency for it to have any damage.
Exactly. And their tests were... probably done. Now, I don't know the details, but since it was funded by the CIA, they were probably interested in really high power levels. And the really high power levels, they were hoping would show more incidents and more damage, and they didn't. Okay, so what does all this mean?
Yeah.
To humans? Well, we don't care about rats, and we, you know, how did they do this? Did they have rats running around their cages with cell phones strapped on their back with duct tape, you know? that's not a realistic experiment, you know? So, but it does make one think, why is it that there was less brain cancer in the rats that were exposed to high levels of cell phone radiation? Maybe there's something to it. Maybe Rife was right. You know, maybe these high power levels do have a therapeutic and healing effect.
Well, so, think back for years and years, and currently when people contract cancer, they talk about treatment with chemotherapy and radiation treatment.
Exactly.
So radiation clearly is bad for cancer. I mean, it's good for eradicating it.
Exactly. So I did a little more research. The first thing, I can't remember if it was last week, your guest, but someone mentioned the population of the Earth. In 1900, it was 1.6 billion. And in the year 2000, it was 6.1 billion digits just reversed there. Huge increase for only 100 years, considering it took, you know, 100,000 years to get to the 1.6 billion that we had in 1900. What happened around 1900 that caused this sudden upsurge? Basically, you know, the death rate went way down and the birth rate went way up, maybe. That would account for it. So I looked at the birth rate statistics. Really haven't changed much over the centuries. Through the 1800s and 1900s, the birth rate here in this country, anyways, remained fairly constant. Goes up and down, but fairly constant. But the death rate, you know, the longevity, how long do people live? That seems to have gone up. And I look on the Internet, you can find birth rate and death rate tables going back through the early 1800s. But, boy, they're tough to interpret, pages and pages of data, statistical data tabulated with all these standard deviations and means and all sorts of esoteric terms. So I watched a video that I picked up on YouTube. There's actually two of them from a doctor that was explaining how to interpret these tables. And there's two 10-minute videos, one on birth rates, which is not too interesting, but the one on death rates, it was very interesting, and one of the things he presented was a graph that showed the life expectancy of humans on this planet over the last 100 years. And he had three curves, Costa Rica being the highest one. They have the people live the longest in Costa Rica. And they had the Philippines, which is one of the lower ones. And the United States was right in the middle. And looking at these three curves, they all were going up at a very steep rate. That even in countries like the Philippines, where they have a low life expectancy, it's increased dramatically over the last few years. What happened in 1900 or 1910 that caused the expectancy of life on the entire planet to rise rapidly? So I went back and looked at the tables again and looked at the life expectancy for people in this country. Through the 1800s, it was about 50 years. It remained fairly constant through the last part of the 1800s up until 1910. And in 1910, it was 50, the life expectancy. And in 2010, 100 years later, it's 80 years, a very steep increase. So what happened in 1910? Well, being a radio guy and knowing the history of radio, and without getting into a lot of gruesome details, the first commercial radio stations started broadcasting in around 1907. Lee DeForest started broadcasting news and weather in 1907. And over in San Jose, a guy by the name of Harold had a radio station that broadcast news and weather starting in 1909. And in 1910, they started audio broadcast. All of that beforehand was Morse code. Not too interesting to listen to the weather report in Morse code. But in 1910, they started broadcasting audio. And from that time till the present, there's been a huge proliferation of radio stations all around this country and all around the world. And if you look at the number of radio stations broadcasting and the corresponding electromagnetic interference being generated on this planet, it has quite a steep rise from 1910 till now, pretty much matching those death rate curves, I mean the life expectancy curves. So that's my theory. The electromagnetic radiation that we've been receiving from all of these radio stations and cell phone stations and microwave ovens and everything else has been beneficial, proof positive. But again, this is my selective interpretation of the data.
So you have a smile on your face. Why?
I'm enjoying this.
Oh.
Anyway.
Okay. Now, if you have an alternative point of view, or you want to support Richard B. Luther II and his theory about microwave radiation not only not being harmful but being beneficial, we invite you to call 479-1080 in area 831. And I hope that we'll get some. I see we already have a call. Now, caller, what about the sound cannons used by police? What about the sound cannons used by police?
Sound cannons.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
acoustic energy.
Yeah, someone is. Someone must have called Rick. Anyhow, we do have a caller here on line one, who wants to go on the air, and as soon as it goes to hold, we'll put him on. But I've got to ask you a question, Richard. I know the answer to the question, but do you use a cordless phone, and do you have any? I know you use a cell phone. Even Dr. Moret uses a cell phone. But when I asked him if he uses a cordless phone, he said no, he stopped quite a number of years ago using a cordless phone because he is a strong believer in the fact in the cordless phone energy causing problems, brain tumors in particular. What about you?
Well, yes, I have a cordless phone, and I use cordless phones, you know, at various places, like at your house. And in Costa Rica, we have lots of cordless phones in the house, and I use them all the time. And I'm a firm believer that it's the energy is not harmful at all. And like I said, quite possibly could be beneficial. Again, we're, you know, interpreting this data selectively. The mainstream viewpoint is, of course, that it's neither harmful nor beneficial. And your guest last week said it's harmful, and I say that it's quite possibly beneficial. The truth probably lies somewhere in the middle, where you know, people that are hypersensitive to this sort of thing probably shouldn't be using cordless phones. And for some people, they're probably beneficial, like me. I think so. I think I'm living longer because of it.
Wow. I love having you as a guest, Richard B. Luther.
We're trying to be positive here.
No, we really are. And I have the highest regard for Dr. Moret, but as I said both before and during and after the program, what he said was depressing. You know, so I'm feeling like we're balancing the comment here on the radio station, if not during the same program, on a subsequent program. Now, would you care to hear from Professor Chase in Santa Cruz, who's on line one?
Certainly.
Okay, Professor Chase, you're on the air on KSCO.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Yes, fine. Which Professor Chase are you?
I'm Professor Glenn Chase. I'm a professor of environmental economics. I work in the management systems within the environmental area, and I teach statistics at the graduate level, so I don't actually do the scientific experiment, but I'm qualified to set them up and to evaluate them.
Do you work for a particular educational institution?
I've worked a number of the Central Coast institutions, the Naval Postgraduate School, CSUMB,
Okay, sure.
And
okay, great.
I was going to explain that people have said that they can't prove that the RF radio, the radio signal radiation, is damaging. And I want to give an example for your audience that if a race car driver runs into a brick wall at 300 miles an hour and he burns and his body is no longer available for an autopsy, science cannot prove that he was killed from the impact. So science can prove very few things, even when they're obvious. What science deals with is likelihoods and probabilities. So the probability that that race car driver died from the impact is 99.9999%, but it's possible that he had a heart attack or an aneurysm 20 feet from the wall. So science can't prove a lot of things, so we have to use reasonable conclusions most all the time, even in science.
Did you hear the program last week?
I did.
You like or you no like?
Well, Carl Merritt is a qualified medical doctor and a electrical engineer and electrobiologist, and I would say literally everything he said was accurate. He was actually being very moderate, and what it is I'm personally familiar with 53 peer-reviewed articles, which means that, you know, the people that are qualified reviewed them and accepted it, and it demonstrates that not just everyone knows that high levels of the radiation is damaging, but what they've found is that extremely low persistent levels of the radiation are similarly damaging, and these are 53 individual peer-reviewed studies. So for someone to come along and say there's no damage or they prove, it's true that industry says you can't prove it, but again, industry would also say the exact equivalent, that we can't prove that the race car driver died from the impact. And they're right. It's only 99.9999%.
Well, I'm sure Richard has a response to your assertion.
Well, no, I totally agree. He's absolutely right.
Well, that's the response.
That was my problem with your guest last week, you know, that you can make statistics say anything you want, you know.
But for your listeners, are you still there? May I speak one more time?
Yes, sure. Go ahead.
For your listeners, you know, in other words, let's equate this to the driving. Some people, the industry will come on, and I'm familiar with the industry because I know how the industry comes on, and they make donations to the universities that I teach for, and it keeps some of my colleagues' work from being published, because to build a building for $20 or $30 million to take a donation, it's very worth it to discourage the individual professor from publishing something. So, but for your listeners, the industry would tell them, we can't prove the impact was the cause of his death. So our listeners would therefore tend to drive at 300 miles an hour. And similarly, the listeners would therefore come to the conclusion, if they listen to the industry studies, that it's okay to put cell phones to their head, it's okay to have Wi-Fi in their homes, it's okay. And that's as foolish as not believing that the impact of the car killed the race car driver at 300 miles an hour. So that's how statistics works, and I wanted to clarify that. So for the listeners, you can't tell them what to do because we live in a free country, but if you have a young child, and this I'll clarify for a young child, there are millions and millions of tiny, tiny, delicate electronic signals connecting their brains to their cells and their cells to their cells, which develops their organs and is responsible for every little tiny alveoli movement, and every one of them is intentional. And to put up any kind of electronic interference in the vicinity of those child's brains or bodies is so beyond unbelievable. And the only reason people do it is they can't see it. They can't see the damage. I mean, people take such incredible care of their children, and then unknowingly, because industry says, you know, we can't prove the race car driver died that way, the people don't realize they need to keep that kind of radio signal radiation away from their children, which is cell phones, Wi-Fi, proximity to cell towers, and all of those things, because we now know conclusively that low-level, persistent radio signal radiation is extremely damaging to the human body. Now, the last thing is, we don't yet understand the mechanism why exactly, but the same reason that we don't understand the mechanism that cigarette smoking causes cancer. But we still know that cigarette smoking results in cancer often, and the radio signal damages the children often. It takes a while to see it.
I want to ask two personal questions. First, of Professor Chase. Are you talking to me on a cordless or a corded phone now?
Absolutely, with a cord. Everything in my home is wired, absolutely.
And you would not own a cordless phone like Dr. Moret, am I correct?
I wouldn't, because I can't exactly evaluate the damage, but I feed my kid as best as I can, I get him as much sleep as I can, and why would I risk the cells in his body when they need to develop for his lungs, his heart, his sexual organs, giving him a foundation for the rest of his life? Why would I risk that to any extent when I can simply have quality plug-in phones, wired phones, throughout my home?
Okay. Now the personal question for Richard is, do you believe that cancerette smoking causes cancer?
Cigarette smoking causes cancer?
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I have not seen any data to support or discredit that.
Let me interrupt. I'm not sure if it causes cancer or if the association shows that it people that smoke end up with a higher level of cancer. That's not an area, but...
But you're not even allowed to advertise cancerettes on the radio for ever since 1969 and television. Am I right?
I believe so, and you remember years ago. It's the same pattern. Industry is not bad. Industry, you know, needs rules. People play sports as hard as they can, and they'll play outside the rules unless the referee keeps them in the rules. So industry tells us their products are good, and I have colleague, professor, friends that work for industry. I did as well, and we do the best job we can for them. We simply need to...
Can you think of another thing that you're not allowed to advertise because the government restricts that, besides, you know, cancerettes? I can't think of anything else. That would be a topic for a whole Saturday special discussion in and of itself. Richard and Professor Chase, I believe smoking causes cancer, and I think most people do. And many years ago, the government decided that there was enough data to support that assertion, that a rule should be enacted to prevent the advertisement of such substances on broadcast stations, radio or TV. Is that good, or should we just let make sure that people know that they're...
Information is certainly good, and I believe the government is generally good, and they get around to the right thing. They're just usually one or two generations late. So in general, for human beings, they get good information out. But for individuals that are living right now and care about their families right now, you have to be a little bit ahead of the 20 or 30 or 40 years it takes for the government to finally get out the information. So in 2040 and 2050, we won't have wireless devices like we do today. The ingenuity from our incredible inventors will be working so that they'll have antennas that divert the radio frequency radiation away from our heads, not towards our heads. And they'll have that kind of imagination. But right now, you know, people need to pay attention.
Richard.
Just like they did in the past with when they didn't know about asbestos, with lead, et cetera. And but remember, when someone tells you that there's no proof, you remember that race car driver. And I wouldn't let my kid drive a car at 300 miles an hour.
Richard has one thing to add, I believe.
Yeah, well, quid pro quo, you can use your same argument to debunk what you're saying.
Huh?
No, he's saying that, you know, use the race car analogy. Well, I use the race car analogy, too. There's no proof that these things are dangerous, you know. It's exactly the same argument.
Not with me. I do research, and I've seen 53 peer-reviewed articles that actually show the evidence, not the proof, because the proof is 100%, but the evidence, to me, I would put at the same probability as that the impact killed the race car driver.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling into the Saturday special.
Hey, thank Professor you so Chase. Much for what you do today and what you've been doing for a long time.
Okay. Appreciate the kind words. 479-1080 is the phone number to call. Georgia in Capitola is up next. Hi, Georgia.
Hi, Michael. I wanted to respond. I loved everything Dr. Chase said. I wanted to respond to what Richard had said earlier about us living longer.
Yes.
That may be true, but Richard should look at the quality of life of those who are living longer, and most of them are being kept alive by big pharmaceuticals and medications. I think the scary thing is, if we look around at our country, cancer is on the rise. It hits every age now. Brain tumors you hear about all the time now. You didn't used to hear about it quite as much. I don't know that there's a connection, but it certainly is enough to make us think about. And saying that we're living longer because of this radioactivity, I think is an absurd statement, because we really don't know long-term what all of this is going to do to us. But certainly there's some signals out there saying that something's wrong. The American people are not as healthy as they used to be. In my parents' day, you never heard of this kind of rampant cancer, diabetes, all the things now that are, you know, really...
But people were living shorter lives. And Richard's right about that. Don't you agree?
Yeah, they were living shorter lives, better quality of life. The reason I think we're living longer is because of the pharmaceuticals. They're keeping people alive. But when you look at the quality, just look around you. When you see old people, it's not something that you get thrilled or excited about for yourself. I mean, it's not like they're dynamic people walking around this earth living longer. They really aren't. And the level of illness in this country with all the cancers, you hear it all the time. Maybe there is a connection. That's all I'm suggesting, that Richard's saying that we're living longer because of that. I don't think we've had enough time to make a statement like that.
Do you use a cordless phone, Jordan?
I used cordless phones, Michael, till I tapped into Dr. Merritt some weeks ago, or maybe even months ago now, and I have replaced my phone.
Are you feeling much better?
I do. Mentally, I feel better. Yeah, I've never been a big cell phone user.
Physically, are you feeling better?
Emergency only.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't use microwave ovens, and I've now replaced my phones. And for me, whether I feel better or not, I mentally feel better because I think I'm doing something smart.
Right. Anyhow, okay, I want to thank you so much for your call to the Saturday special. Always great to hear from you.
Okay.
Our next caller will be Terry in Aptos, but not before I ask Richard B. Luther II the following question. you would agree that sticking your hand in a microwave oven and turning it on, you know, and defeating, you know, the safety switch would not be a wise thing to do. Like your hand, or, you know, it's like the poodle, the stupid woman who stuck the poodle in her, she wanted to dry her poodle, and the poodle exploded.
Well,
that's not a good thing, Richard B. Luther. You have to admit that.
Well, yeah, of course, a logical argument only exists between the if and the therefore. We got to agree on some ground rules. Everybody knows that high intensity microwave radiation is damaging, and I think contrary to what our previous caller said, I think everyone understands that low levels of radiation aren't going to cause any damage either, that it's in the middle that we're concerned about. And hopefully all of this research and all the discussion is about in the middle. We're not talking about sticking your head in the microwave oven, and we're not talking about having the cell phone across the room from you where the radiation is negligible. We're talking about the middle ground.
Okay. If you want to call us here at KSCO, the phone number is area 831-479-1080, 479-1080. Terry and Aptos will be our next caller. Terry, you are on the air.
Okay. And I listened to the whole show last week.
You like or you no like?
I work at UCSC. I'm a principal instrument maker for Lick Observatory. I have a total non-stopping background of mechanical and biological science. I got a degree in biology from UCSC and wound up working on telescopes.
Well, you have very impressive credentials, Terry.
I guess.
But you haven't answered my question about whether did you like the program last week.
Oh, I loved the program last week because it presented all sorts of views about that particular side of what we're talking about today.
So you weren't as upset as Richard B. Luther II was by it being a one-sided program?
No, not at all. I mean,
so you agree with everything, you believe everything pretty much that Carl suggested, Dr. Carl?
No, I listened to everything that he said.
Oh.
I don't necessarily agree or disagree with it. And what's good about this side, by the way, as a biology student, I was always told that the life expectancy increased for people around the world simply because of soap and water, which became widely available probably just about that same time.
That is a good point.
Yeah, and that's, you know, it's a very simple thing. However, for me, who has, I pretty much work in a huge machine shop up at the university. So we're deluged nonstop with all these banks and banks and banks of fluorescent lighting, 60 cycle power surging through everything, huge power spikes on a random basis. So my body is flooded with this stuff. In my family, I'm probably, for the last three generations, no male on either side of the family has lived longer than 54 years. And I'm 61, going on 62, hopefully, anyway. So, you know, must be the power that I'm surging myself with all the time, the radio frequencies. But,
well, I hope you're feeling much better.
I am. I'm feeling wonderful. But anyway, the point I wanted to make was that I had been taught, and it makes sense to me, that simply soap and water being available all around the world right around that period of time, the century before that.
and you know what else? You know, we should experience, because of the preponderance not just soap, but these antibacterial skin things, you know, these little you know, that have alcohol in them.
Oh,
and,
yeah, I know.
And, you know, that should increase our lifespan there even further.
You think it would.
So 50 or 100 years from now, they'll look back and they'll say, oh, the dramatic increase in life expectancy that occurred in 2010 is as a result of those. Yeah, so you go, yeah, if you're going to pick your nose, you want to make sure you pick it after you've put some of that stuff on your hands, not before.
Right.
Right?
Well, in fact, I talked my wife and daughter out of using that stuff because they started complaining about their hands being extremely dry. And they
this segues perfectly into one of our longevity products. It's called PureWorks, and it's available here at KSCO at any time. You can send me an email. I'm serious.
Okay.
I'm not kidding around now.
All right.
Okay?
Send me a check for plugging that for you.
Well, you didn't plug it. I'm plugging it. I deserve the check.
Okay.
And the check. In fact, we would prefer online purchases.
All right.
At KSCO.com. I don't like to use snail mail, and I don't like to use checks. I won't say no to checks, especially if they're good checks.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say no to bad checks every day. But anyhow, PureWorks. We have it in spray, and we have it in foam. And we have it in liquid, you know, for the counter space and everything. And it's absolutely wonderful. And it does not dry your skin. So, I mean, this is just a wonderful, wonderful product. And I'll use either one of them, you know, but I agree that the alcohol-based systems, it really does dry your skin and chap it and everything. So.
Yes, yes. And before I get off the line here, I'm just wondering, the statistician that you had on the line there, I would guess that there's a statistical connection between increased cancer rates throughout the world's population and texting and email.
Well, he's nodding his head and chuckling. Richard, why don't you say something on the microphone?
Yeah, well, I have a couple of comments. First of all, he's very right. You know, this phenomenon with the long life expectancy could be due to a number of things, you know, not just soap and water, but drugs and modern medicine has been, especially since World War I, you know, which happened right about that time also.
Yeah, antibiotics were created.
Right. And so there's too many other things that could affect it, and that's why I say this is selective interpretation of the data, but exactly the same argument against your speaker last week. There are too many other things that could explain this. That his research was very limited and a very selective interpretation of the data, just as mine is. So, you know, my viewpoint is no less valid than his.
Nor any more valid.
Right, exactly. So it's how you interpret the data. And our statistician that we spoke to a minute ago would agree, you know, that this you can interpret these statistics any way you want.
It's I can draw an analogy. Your favorite radio station, KSCO. If you look at the Arbitron ratings, you can massage data any way to prove that this radio, for example, it would be extremely easy to massage numbers out of if based on intelligence and IQ. I mean, KSCO has the, by far, hands down, the most intelligent listening audience of any radio station on Earth.
But of course.
And that is a scientific fact. And you know why. You know why, don't you, Terry?
Yeah, because what we hear is the truth.
No.
What?
We prevent stupid people from listening to KSCO. And we've been doing that for years. And now we're reaping the benefits of that.
Wow.
That was a decision I made about 20 years ago.
Right.
We're coming up on our 20th anniversary, by the way, on January 31st, 2011. It'll be 20 years since your favorite radio station came back into local ownership and management.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool, huh?
Very cool.
Yeah. Okay, how can I thank you for calling?
Just say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay.
Well, Malcolm and Monterey is going to be next, but not before we play 5 minutes of spots. Now, listen here, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to these spots. And don't get up and relieve nature's internal pressure. Listen to the spots, because without these fine businesses who bought advertising, there would be no Saturday special, and there would be no favorite radio station for you to listen to.
Hi, I am Jeff Taylor, and I want to be your representative in Congress. I am an independent thinker running as the Republican candidate. Like 90% of President Obama's cabinet members, Sam Farr is a career politician who believes in high taxes and big government. It's no wonder the deficit and unemployment rates are skyrocketing. Let's face it, people are struggling and the future looks grim. Our current Congressman, Sam Farr, is part of the problem. Unlike the Farrs, my family, the Taylor family, has been building businesses, growing our local economy, creating jobs, and generating those tax dollars that career politicians love to spend. It's time to replace them with problem solvers like me. I will work to bring about economic stability, create new jobs, and secure our future. Please visit my website. Tell me what you think. And join my team at www.taylorforcongress.com. Vote Jeff Taylor for Congress this November. I will go to work for you. Thank you. I'm Jeff Taylor, running for the 17th Congressional District, and I endorse this message.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Hello, Charlie Friedman here. Listen to the things your friends and neighbors are doing for themselves with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Xbox 360 repair.
Solar energy kits. Musical Tesla coil.
Video output for my home media center.
Building a new server.
Repairing a student radio station.
More RAM and a sound card.
DSL line.
Network printing, scanning, and faxing for dentists.
Replacing antivirus on 12 machines.
Wireless network for court reporter agency.
Diagnosing sound card problem.
Building a 5-kilowatt amplifier.
Ham radio antenna.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Voted best electronics store 2 years running. Call Santa Cruz Electronics today at 831-479-5444 or visit at 2808 Soquel Avenue in Santa Cruz. Do it yourself and save money with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
The Pajaro Valley Arts Council presents an exhibit of 70 artists' interpretation of birds depicted in multiple mediums, September 2nd through October 10th. Titled Los Pajaros, or The Birds, the show is open Thursdays and Fridays, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., and Saturdays and Sundays, noon to 4 p.m. at Watsonville Pajaro Valley Gallery. That's at 37 Sutton Street. Andrea Rich's expert bird woodcuts will also be exhibited on the fourth floor of the Watsonville Civic Plaza from September 2nd to October 7th, 7:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Mondays through Thursdays. This is in conjunction with Watsonville's 6th Monterey Bay Birding Festival, September 23rd through 26th at Watsonville Civic Plaza. For gallery information, call 831-722-3062 or visit www.pvarts.org. For birding registration, go to http://montereybaybirding.org.
Put your business on the internet and make money while you sleep. Hello, Charlie Friedman here for Reliable System Enterprises, or RSE. Your business can make money 24/7, 365 with the help of an RSE e-commerce website that will display your goods and services, take orders, track inventory, respond to customers, and deposit payments into your bank account while you sleep. And get this, RSE is a husband and wife team with low overhead, which means they can build your multiple function e-commerce website for a price so reasonable, you'll wonder why you've waited to get down to business.
Hello, I'm Dieter.
I'm Andrea.
Dieter and Andrea can put your business on the internet with a fully functioning e-commerce website starting at only $29.95. That's about a third the cost of comparable developers. But don't take my word. Contact Dieter and Andrea today at myrse.com and ask for a free, no-obligation, in-depth consultation. That's myrse.com or 831-274-2546. The sooner you contact Dieter and Andrea at myrse.com, the sooner your business can make money while you sleep. That's myrse.com. Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of our walls? JM Electric knows. I'm Charlie Friedman. Fact is, we can't see what electrical evils lurk in our walls, and those evils cause about 68,000 home fires every year. I got to thinking about the evils that might be lurking in my walls and what a fire would do to my collection of 78 records, so I called JM Electric and asked for a current safe home inspection service. That was a good call. Tom from JM Electric used some high-tech equipment to conduct an incredibly thorough inspection of all my electrical systems. He actually looked inside the walls and showed me
pictures of where I'm vulnerable. Thanks to JM Electric, I know there are now no electrical evils lurking in my walls, and that knowledge is worth about $1 million in sound sleep. Discover what kind of electrical evils are lurking in your walls. Call JM Electric in Salinas. Ask for a free, no-obligation electrical hazard assessment. That's JM Electric, 422-7819, or jmelectric.com.
Why talk when you can argue?
News Talk 1080 KSCO.
Hey, Rick. Do they have... Oh, wait a minute. I looked at there and said, hey, Rick. There's no Rick. But now there's a Rick. Hi, Rick.
Morning.
Okay, in that stop set, I didn't hear anything for the Alex Jones thing, big event on the 24th. Did they forget to put that in? Is it in the second hour at least? Hi, Dr. Future. Dr. Future is in the building, and so is Mrs. Future. Hi, son. So is it in there?
Not for this couple hours.
Oh, my God. That's terrible.
I'll play it next hour. What's the number?
87 or 85. I can't remember.
Single digits? Okay.
This is awful. We'll have to do it during the break here. But
I got it.
This is an email that just came in from Bob Leslie. And it says, TMZ, I love Richard's theory that radiation is responsible for our longevity. Any idea that politically incorrect just warms my heart. What happened in 1910? The introduction of indoor plumbing is an interesting candidate. In any event, we must remember that there is no such thing as absolute proof of anything. All proof is conditional, including Euclid's Elements. If his 10 axioms are accepted as true without proof, then it must necessarily follow that the 2,400 other things demonstrated in Euclid's propositions are also true. But there is always room for doubt. Now, so clearly Bob Leslie is a fan of yours, Richard B. Luther. Have you become a fan of his simply because he...
Of course.
Oh, good. Great. Okay. Let's see. We've got less than a minute left for this hour of the Saturday special. Coming up next hour, a discussion of alternative energy and solar and hydrogen and all kinds of wonderful different forms of energy here.
Really, Stirling engines.
And in fact, yeah, we have Tom Quinn here. We have Dr. Future here. And if you want to come on down to KSCO parking lot, I don't know how many demonstrations you're going to see, but you're going to see some. I can't tell you for sure because it's a pretty informal thing that we just cooked up within the last two or three days. But it's KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 11 a.m., and here is Fox News.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen Riegel. Democrats and Republicans use their weekly addresses to fight over finances. President Obama says Republicans, by insisting the nation's richest people be included in any extension of Bush-era tax cuts, are pushing a worn-out way of doing government business.
Cut taxes for millionaires and billionaires, cut the rules for Wall Street and the special interests, and cut the middle class loose to fend for itself. That's not a prescription for a better future. It's an echo of a disastrous decade we can't afford to relive.
Republicans say it isn't about tax cuts, rather it's about spending.
We must reverse our current course of action and reject the job-killing policies of the Democratic majority.
Kevin McCarthy, congressman from California, speaking for the Republicans this week. The rain stopped yesterday in most of the Midwest. Hundreds of people in Minnesota and Wisconsin are hoping they can go home after being evacuated ahead of rising waters. But many people are going home to houses filled with water.
Oh, I tell you, losing your home ain't very nice.
Some places are under 12 feet of water. The Minnesota and Mississippi rivers aren't expected to crest until next week. Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas spoke before the UN General Assembly in New York today, as heard here through a translator.
This blockade against the Gaza Strip must be lifted immediately and completely. The tragedy and suffering of our people must be ended as soon as possible.
Abbas did say Palestinians are ready for a peace agreement. The U.S. is trying to broker a deal between the Palestinians and Israel. Canadian investigators trying to figure out if a tip about a man carrying explosives on a Toronto to Pakistan flight was actually a hoax. That plane was diverted to Sweden, the man in question detained and then released. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Last
last week on our special tax-to-death coverage. Through exclusive reports, only one team exposed the politics.
What's Washington doing about it? There's a lot at stake here.
And brought you sharp insight to help protect your bottom line.
This is where the money is going.
Plus, he broke the Bell California pay scandal story. Now, Eric Bolling exposes the controversy surrounding a $17 million Obama Teacher Initiative program. Find out why we're America's fastest growing business network. Watch Fox Business, the power to prosper.
Do you believe in the freedom of the press, thought, speech, and worship? If your answer is yes, join the online community where you can finally be heard, thefoxnation.com. Fox Nation allows you to be a part of the tradition that has made America great. It's time to say no to biased media and yes to fair play and free speech. Be a part of the real news of America and join the online community that believes in the right to express your views, values, and voice. Join thefoxnation.com now.
A woman accused of faking an acid attack heads back to court.
She garnered nationwide sympathy and numerous fundraisers over what appeared to be a horrific attack. But Bethany Storo later admitted a stranger didn't douse her face with acid. She did it to herself with drain cleaner. Now charged with aggravated second-degree theft for accepting nearly $28,000 in donations, Storo set to appear in court Wednesday, a combined arraignment and preliminary hearing. Police say Storo has spent about $1,500 of the money. The accounts have since been frozen, and Storo's parents say it'll all be returned. Lori London, Fox News Radio.
Britain's Labour Party has elected a new head. His name is Ed Miliband. Miliband was running against his brother, David, who is Britain's former foreign secretary. It was all about bedbugs in Chicago this week, where the pros gathered to discuss getting rid of the critters.
If you're looking to track down bedbugs, meet Scooby, the bedbug-sniffing dog. His handler, Linda Devalesco.
Dogs that are trained properly are looking for the presence of the odor that they emit from the pheromone. So when Scooby locates what he's looking for, he will actually paw at it.
For a job well done.
He does get a Scooby stack. Yes, he does.
Jimmy Kendrick uses mobile heat-treating trucks where infested furniture is heated to 140 degrees for 2 hours.
We are going to barbecue them things until they are dead.
Oh, and Lauren Chadnick with Rest Assured MC in Canada uses a wand and a gun that shoots liquid CO2.
The people are calling me Mr. Freeze. I'm freezing the bedbugs to death.
In Rosemont, Illinois, Jennifer Kuiper, Fox News Radio.
The verdict is guilty for a Kentucky man accused in his wife's murder, despite the defendant's unique defense. Woody Will Smith said excessive caffeine intake from sodas, energy drinks, and diet pills left him so deprived of sleep and so mentally wired that he mistakenly convinced cops he had strangled his wife. In addition to the guilty verdict, the jury's recommending life in prison. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, KSCO News Time, 11:05. You're tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. I'm Rick O'Shea with an update on your Central Coast roadways. Defective traffic signals causing a bit of a headache. Soquel Road at 17th Avenue, just down the street from KSCO Studios. Remember, treat that as a stop sign. Harris Road at Abbott Street down in Monterey County. Two-car crash. CHP is on scene. Big problem from 9:30 this morning when a big rig lost a load of tomatoes in South Gilroy, 101 northbound right at Highway 25. The roadway is still closed as they are uprighting the trailer. They do have major delays in the area. Vehicles are turning illegally in the area. They do have emergency crews and CHP on scene providing traffic control, but major problems there. Again, that is South Gilroy, northbound 101 at Highway 25. Sunny skies and warm temperatures forecasted for today. Highs will be in the 80s across the Central Coast. West winds this afternoon, about 5 miles per hour. Middle 60s across the Central Coast, currently 6 minutes past 11 a.m. Time for hour 2 of the Saturday special with MZ.
Oh, hi, Rick. Boy, have we got a second hour for everybody. I mean, well, that's what people expect, right? Because it is a two-hour show. What's
yeah.
that sound?
I don't know.
I hear strange sounds all through the place. If you want to call us, 479-1080 is the phone number. And you can always call us here. And what we should really do right now is start hour number two officially.
That wonderful rain.
It's very rare that I get as excited as I am right now, ladies and gentlemen. Why? Because I get to ride in an electric car next hour.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO. Bye.
If I behave myself, that is. That's from the gentleman who owns the electric car. What's his name, Tom? Who's here?
Mike Brown.
Mike Brown is here at KSCO Central in the parking lot where we're having a little mini event today. Dreamed up by you, Tom Quinn, a good friend of KSCO's for many, many years and a brilliant, wonderful, nice, kind person who brought in what looks like to be a 64-ounce urine sample. What's going on here, Tom? Why did you bring a 64?
No,
is this one of your new kind of energy sources or something?
White tea.
Are you sure?
Well, we're going to have fun today. We got every type
he's
of
got
energy.
It up to his lips. Maybe I think he's
we got
he's
every
right.
type of energy device imaginable.
He believes in recycling.
Today. Yeah.
He just drank it.
He's the ultimate recycler.
I guess it's not urine. Well, the point of all this show is everyone, is paying these high electrical bills and gasoline bills, and let's find different ways that we can save money.
Okay.
Whether it be solar, whether it be electric cars, I mean, you name it. There's some listeners out there. You probably got ideas too. We're down at the studio. If you want to bring a gadget down to the station, you're welcome to. There's probably going to be
outside,
few,
not inside.
Correct.
Outside.
There's going to be a few electrical cars here for sure.
Yeah, because there's already one, and I get to ride in it.
There's already a Tesla coil in another car.
And I love Tesla coils. I'm going to tell you why. But you know what? Before we go any further, there's something very important that we must do. Stick to the format.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
The following encore commentary about the fairness doctrine is in my new book about to be published shortly. It was broadcast on July 27, 2007, very timely then and still timely because the Obama administration will try to repeat it if the new Congress remains Democratic. Here it is. It's called Why the Fairness Doctrine is Anything But Fair. Legislation is currently before Congress that would reinstate an FCC policy known outright as the Fairness Doctrine. It's being sponsored in both the Senate and the House by the Democrats who are determined to resurrect this foolish and unfair law. It would codify a 1949 FCC regulation that once required broadcasters to afford reasonable opportunity for the discussion of conflicting views of public importance. The Fairness Doctrine was overturned by the FCC in 1987. The FCC discarded the rule because, contrary to its purpose, it failed to encourage the discussion of more controversial issues. The American left is totally comfortable with the current unbalanced liberal media, that is, the print media and much of the radio and TV media, excepting for Fox News. Newspapers, magazines, and TV, like ABC, NBC, CBS, and CNN, deal primarily with concerns and opinions of the Democrats and omit opinions and issues of concern to the Republicans. The Democrats are uncomfortable with successful radio news talk programs like Rush Limbaugh's and those of numerous other conservative radio talk hosts, and radio is primarily the one media outlet which the conservatives have. The liberals failed in radio because they whined and complained about everything and never presented solutions. Their conversation was toxic. The only way the Fairness Doctrine could be fair would be if the conservatives would also be given the right to respond in print to newspaper stories and give radio and TV responses to liberal news interpretations. But that'll never happen. Clearly, the Democrats want to reinstate the Fairness Doctrine so that they can control any opposition from the conservatives by receiving equal time on all conservative programs. One wonders why the liberals are always threatened by different points of view. Can it be that their opinions are often impractical, illogical, or unable to withstand scrutiny? It's rightfully argued that the Fairness Doctrine can interfere with the First Amendment, and my hope is that despite the Democrats' desire to reinstate the Fairness Doctrine, this one-sided, politically conceived law will be voted down because it is unfair. For KSCO, this is Kay Swirling.
I don't agree with my mom on this one. I think even the Democrats and the Obama administration, even they're not that stupid to try to put through the Fairness Doctrine. Okay? Anyhow, I hope I'm right and my mom is wrong on that one. Speaking of my mom, we were talking about her behind her back during the break, Tom Quinn and I. Tom is here. As we said earlier, we're having this little event with Dr. Future and Tom Quinn and a bunch of really independent, you know, alternative energy-minded type people here at KSCO Central parking lot here at 2300 Portola Drive today. It's already going on, and it will be going on, I don't know how long. What did you say, Tom?
At least for a few hours.
A few hours, okay. Yeah. So at least until what, 2-3 o'clock, you think?
Yeah. Oh, we'll play it by ear. Absolutely. Yeah. During the show for the next 2 hours, your
right.
Show and my show.
Right.
Yes. Come bathe in the waves of KSCO.
And right. you wanted to, I've always, when I was in school, they had a Tesla coil in my seventh grade science class. And it was a little thing it was a little cylindrical type thing with a probe. A metal probe at the end. And I remember grabbing that probe and having the Tesla coil turned on. And then the teacher telling me to touch somebody else. And I went and started to touch the other person. When I got within an inch of the other person, it arced. A spark went through from my finger to that other person.
Absolutely.
And I felt so powerful. You know? And I haven't felt that powerful ever since then. I've always wanted to have my own Tesla coil. And it's my understanding that I may now do that because I have enough money.
That's right.
Because like $29.95?
Well, you could get a little one from Edmund Scientific, or you could be ambitious and build one as big as what Tesla had. He had one in Colorado Springs. It was so big, it was sending out lightning bolts like, what, 50, 100 feet long.
Can we have one of these at on KSCO roof?
We probably could if it was properly insulated and the roof had some sort of fire protectant on it.
Because it could cause a fire, huh?
It could do a lot of things.
You'd never get it through the county.
Oh.
To say the least.
Oh.
The
oh.
county would
oh.
be horrified.
Ah, dang.
It'll do strange things to your signal, too.
Oh. Well, we wouldn't want to do that then.
No. But you can try and see what it is. Don't let people know this is going to happen.
Can we do a smaller one?
Yeah. Yeah, you can bring
because there's something that if you're building, I'm trying to remember this, the rules. If you're building a retaining wall that's not 4 feet, that's four feet or less, you don't have to get a permit from the county or something. So if you're going to build a Tesla coil with an arc of less than a certain number of inches, maybe you don't have to get a permit for that either.
Well, it depends what legal system you follow. If you follow the Constitution and Bill of Rights, you have more latitude. If you follow their legal system, you're under pretty onerous regulations.
Oh. Okay. All right. So you want us to call this Paul Pantone.
Let's talk to Paul Pantone a bit. But, okay. But, you know, let's talk for a few minutes.
Who is Paul Pantone?
Well, Paul Pantone invented the GEET device, and he has patents for it. But
GEET device, G-E-E-T. It's not G-E-E-K. It's GEET.
Correct.
What is a GEET device?
Well, he'll explain that in a few minutes, but let's say a little about Tesla. A lot of people don't know about Tesla.
Did he electrocute himself? Is that how he died?
Tesla was a world-class character, a real brilliant guy, a visionary, very eccentric. But he invented the entire AC structure. He invented radio. A lot of people think Marconi invented radio.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But the fact of the matter was, after lengthy legal battles, it was proven that Marconi's ideas were lifted from Tesla. And basically, Tesla set up the whole modern electrical age. I mean, naturally other people participated, but he's like the eminent scientist.
Marconi stole the thunder.
Correct.
Of Tesla.
Tesla was highly controversial. Yeah. Tesla was basically invented the AC system and set up the first big power plant at Niagara Falls. He was in various economic battles with Edison, where Tesla was aligned with Westinghouse and Edison was on the other side, and they were fighting to decide whether we were going to have an AC system in the country or a DC system. Okay. And the AC system won out.
I'm looking at Paul Pantone's business card that you have here, and it says GEET. G-E-E-T stands for Global Environmental Energy Technology. Paul Pantone, inventor. www.geetinternational.com. And it has a phone number. I'm going to try to call that phone.
Let's see what he has to say. Well, partly for fun and partly for more serious scientific reasons, Dr. Future Al and son, we've got the World Tesla Society, and we're going to have local Tesla meetings here to get all these mad scientists together. There's strength in numbers.
Yes, worldteslasociety.com.
There you go. You can look up the website, worldteslasociety.com. You come down to radio station. We have a sign-up sheet, and we'll have meetings where people can learn more about these things.
Do not come to the radio station unless you want to join. And what are the dues?
No dues for now.
Okay. This but you do really have to let us know who you are.
So you come today, you're founding members. Founding members.
Talk me into it. I'll sign up.
Yeah. It'll be fun.
Richard B. Luther II is going to sign up. Is that you, Paul?
Hello.
Hi, Paul.
Yes.
Hey, Paul. It's Tom Quinn.
And it's Michael Ellsworth.
Yeah. Michael Zerling. And Al Lundgren.
Al Lundell.
Yeah. A.K.A. Dr. Future. Yes. And Richard B. Luther II, world famous scientist.
So we're going to do a great energy show today.
We're on the air right now, just so Paul knows.
Michael is the owner of the station. He was generous enough to give us a little extra time so that we could talk more about energy devices for the benefit of everyone. Why don't you tell us a little about your background and what the GEET device is?
Well, the GEET device was originally invented in 1983. I was trying to get better mileage on an engine. And what I ended up with was a device where I could pour crude oil, paint thinner, cleaning solvents, and a wide variety of product into it and have zero emission. During tests originally in 1983 and 84, we were producing 1 and 2% more oxygen out the tailpipe than there was in the room where we were testing it, with zero carbon monoxide, zero carbon dioxide, and zero hydrocarbon. And since then, it's just been trying to find a way of getting this to the market.
Well, we might have figured out that way today with the Saturday special.
Well, we're going to give you a bit of publicity here, Paul, because I'll be honest, folks, I don't fully understand all the physics behind this device, but I've been to a number of conventions and seen a number of them operate, so there's definitely something going on. It works great with these small gas engines, doesn't it, Paul?
Yes, it does. It works great on cars as well and big diesel engines, so... in about an hour, you should have one sitting out there with George Gaborik.
So George is going to be here today for sure?
I just talked to him, and he's running a little behind, but he said the second hour, he'd be there.
Okay, that's wonderful, because I couldn't get a hold of him this morning. Folks, George Gaborik is a good friend of ours. He's basically the head of the San Francisco Tesla Society. As we mentioned earlier, we've started a World Tesla Society, which is basically the Santa Cruz chapter for now. And we're loosely affiliated with George of the San Francisco chapter. And there's other chapters in the United States, too. And you're part of a long tradition because there's Tesla societies all over the world. And generally, they're involved with alternative energy devices and different types of high technology. So if anyone's interested in that, come down to the station and we'll tell you more. So Paul, have you had this on many cars? When I look on the internet, I see there's a lot of interest in Europe, like France and stuff, where I heard rumors even the French government was using it on certain types of helicopters and military machinery.
Well, we know that it's on at least one helicopter, several boats. We've got it on about 5,000 vehicles throughout Europe. The last time I looked at a list from over there, it had Lamborghinis, Ferraris, Fiats, about every brand there is. There are tractor clubs that have formed over there where they meet once a month, and they all bring their tractors in to see who can get the best mileage. Some are getting a 30-40% increase because they haven't come to school, and others are getting five times their mileage.
So could you use a device like yours with other devices, like these little hydrogen booster devices and such? Or how far could you go with a GEET device? Could you run a car like with literally 10% gasoline in the mixture? Or?
I believe you can go a lot less on the fuel there, but and using mainly water or hydrogen from an HHO unit. The difficulty is the politics in this country. So we're looking at going abroad. That's why I'm only having one more class here in the country, and then we're shutting down school here to the public. We're going to just be doing things with corporations, companies, entities that want to work in foreign countries, or if they have a specific application here in this country, that's fine. Otherwise, they're going to have to go through dealers, and they can buy generators and plans and things here. But I'm not going to try to push anymore here. After 32 years, I've hit enough brick walls.
So I hear tell that they actually put you in a mental hospital and said you were crazy for inventing this thing, or were trying to take your patents away. How long were you how long were you incarcerated? What was the story behind that?
Well, good old Judge Royal Hansen there in Salt Lake said I had to be delusional to think that I have something that is not written in the science book, and held me for the legal limit of 1.5 years in a maximum security ward at a mental hospital. But that 1.5 year grew to 3.5 years because I wouldn't sign my patent over to the state.
Now, how'd you finally get out?
George Gabori and a lot of friends, my son, people from all over the world were contacting senators and congressmen. Finally, Senator Chris Butters was going to investigate the hospital, and right after his first team walkthrough, they announced that I better pack my things up. I'll be going home in a few days.
We don't like to read.
The judge said.
We don't like to do too much reading here on the Saturday special, but I'm going to do some. Dr. Future handed me his iPad that has the website geetfriends.net, G-E-E-T friends.net, home of the Paul Pantone Defense Project. And big letters, it says persecution. It shows a picture of Paul Pantone, 2007 inventor prisoner. Paul Pantone was railroaded through a series of bizarre legal maneuvers by powerful and corrupt conspirators into a state mental hospital in Provo, Utah, where he resides today. Well, that's when this was written, I guess.
A couple years ago.
He's supposed to be incompetent for claiming that no one, that one can... I touched your iPad and made it go away. Can you listen? Can you bring it back up here so I don't continue to make a fool of myself on the radio? You don't ever touch an iPad when you don't know what you're doing.
So very sensitive.
All right, it's your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. If you want to call us and chip into the conversation, you can call 479-1080 in area 831, or you can send an email to mz@ksco.com. And by the way, Roger is invited to call back. Apparently he didn't like being call screened. The call screener, we have our system, Roger, and, you know, when the call screener asks you what you want to talk about, and you just say the topic, you shouldn't be insulted if he wants more specificity from
you. Well, Michael, what makes it more complicated is we have a number of people that will be calling in that we're interviewing today, too, so we have to give them precedence over
right.
the local call-ins.
Oh, okay.
So right. Roger, that's one of the reasons we're asking these questions is we're having people call in that we're interviewing, and we have to give them precedence over the local
call-ins. Well, this happened last hour, actually. Anyhow, Paul Pantone is supposed to be incompetent for claiming that one can fuel a car with mostly water using his system and for not getting along with fired attorneys under Utah code, who betrayed him. Never mind the over 200 GEET devices in the U.S. currently running on mostly water. Water?
Gasoline and water, yep. Right, Paul?
How did this happen?
There were a few devices that were built to run on water only, and I've had to pull that knowledge back from the general public for obvious reasons.
All right. Now,
well, you should point out water's made of fuel. Water has hydrogen in it and has oxygen in it. You know, there's
absolutely.
Ways of cracking the water in half and taking the hydrogen out.
Absolutely. If you go further in that story, you'll see pictures of what I looked like before I got arrested or detained. I had all my teeth. And after they drilled them all out hollow and said, we're not going to fill them unless you give us your patent, I left with no teeth.
So have you gotten your teeth back yet, Paul?
No.
Really? Wow.
We'll have to set a fund up to help Paul get his teeth back. That's horrible.
It sounds like Nazi Germany.
That's horrible. Well, how you doing now, Paul? Are you in pretty good health now?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I lost about 50 pounds. I'm on my feet now. Instead of being in a wheelchair like I was for 2.5 years, I can stay on my feet 18, 20 hours a day. I can give lectures. I'm teaching. I'm building. I'm doing all the things I enjoy doing.
So what's this class you're giving? Where is it going to be and what's it going to be?
It's up on the website at GeetInternational.com. It is open to the public for a sign-up fee, of course. I teach all I can in 5.5 days so that when you leave there, you know how to run your equipment, whether it's a tractor, gas engine, diesel engine, car, generator, whatever you want to run on whatever fuel you choose to run on.
Hmm. Well, that sounds pretty interesting.
Well, there's 180 discoveries we've made so far in physics that are not found in science books. And had all the other inventors before me had these pictures available, something for a reference on what they were doing, many other inventors would have had many other products out.
Does anybody have a question in the audience for Paul, who won't be with us for much longer because we have a lot of other things to cover here? Perhaps a current caller, Val, in Santa Cruz. Val, you're on the air on KSU.
Thank you, gentlemen. Excellent subject matter. I can remember the Tesla, original Tesla, wherever heard about Tesla, was at some natural food store in Palo Alto back in 70 when I shifted junior schools. And bottom line, Tesla, what he did was extraordinary. And J.P. Morgan goes, well, you've invented this. And he goes, yeah, I can plug in this here and light a light bulb 28 miles away. They use the Earth's inner core energy. Now, this is where we have to get together and figure this one out. They've covered all this up. Morgan goes, well, what do you got for me? He goes, well, yeah, I got free energy. He goes, well, we can't meter it. So J.P. Morgan goes, since we can't meter it, then we'll shift to the other guys, and Tesla ended up, Brilliant.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the game.
Well, how is it any easier now? Because we have KSCO and the internet and so forth?
So well,
we
the
get
whole
the word
thing.
Out to people that otherwise wouldn't get the word? Why is it different
well,
now?
No. All right, let me ask that. It's the EPA. Okay, we can get Mike. We can do this another show. We can just expose all the NJs, EPAs, all that stuff. They don't want us. Okay, I'll leave it simple. I'm going to leave the show up so more people can call in. I'm very enthused on this subject matter, Michael. It's excellent.
Come down to the station if you want.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You should actually put on perspectives. You should keep perspectives after Saturday's specials.
No, we are. Mike's doing part of his show on this, and I'm doing my show on it.
All right,
so
let me get to the
point. Together on this one.
I'll get to the point and get off the phone. I can remember, and because you covered too much subject matter. Let me think.
Well, we can put you on hold while you're thinking here. We don't want to forget about poor Paul Pantone, who's on the phone also.
So, Paul, what do you think of all these hydrogen booster devices? You think those things work?
Oh, yeah. They have their limitations because of the way they're introducing it right now, but with a slight modification, you can be running your car on them.
So, and what you're feeling about these the evolution of electric cars, where more of them have hybrid with different little generators on them? You could run the little generator off a Geek device too, and then we'd be talking 300 miles per gallon.
We'd be talking a lot more than that.
What?
We are talking to a few people about it right now, and I believe you can go from coast to coast on a gallon. It's just a question of what type of device you have in it.
Now, later on the show today, folks, we're going to have Roy Kaler and Mike Brown, both guys who know a lot about electric cars. And Roy Kaler was building hybrid electric cars 25 years ago that were getting hundreds of miles a gallon. So, you'll hear a lot of things today that you won't believe.
Well, there's a story or a movie called Who Killed the Electric Car? It sounds like the electric car is far from killed.
The electric car is a very viable technology for the simple reason that you can build electric motors that have close to 100% efficiency, whereas a standard gas and diesel engine are, 20% at best? They're pretty, folks, you got to visualize these engines. The the pistons are reciprocating, which means the engine has a tremendous amount of inefficiency, whereas an electric motor rotates in the way a turbine does, or the way the jet
through electromagnetism.
It's much more efficient.
Yeah.
That rotary, the rotary right. action is more efficient.
We have quite a number of callers now who have called in. Val, real quick, you wanted to say something. Did you figure out what it was?
Yes. The rotisserie motor and electricity, if we have a thunderstorm, zap, you're out, okay? So you use electricity as a backup. We actually could still build stills in every neighborhood before they scammed us on this whole gas bullshit.
Can't do that.
Well, let's touch on Next that caller. Real quick. Let me touch on that real quick. David Bloom, who we hope
to What's wrong with these people? Don't they know they're on the radio and they're not allowed to say that? That could get our license revoked.
Yeah, that's right, folks. We're not supposed to swear.
If you want to have KSCO much longer, you won't get on the radio and say things like that, okay? I never want to hear that again.
Anyway, just to comment on what the last caller stated, there's a man named David Bloom. Hopefully we'll have him on our show sometime soon. His friend Paul Galen might be here today, but David Bloom wrote a book called Alcohol Can Be a Gas, and it goes into a lot of details of how you can use alcohol to run cars, too, especially in a farm area like this. See, we have all these apple orchards and all that waste food and waste fruit from the canneries and stuff that could all be turned into alcohol to the benefit of the farmers and the local people.
Okay, next caller, Rich and Salinas. You're on the air, Rich.
Yeah, hi. I was wondering, with all the trouble that Paul's had in trying to get things off the ground, and he sounds kind of discouraged there, maybe if you set up a corporation in whatever state would be friendly to this and start taking individual investors' money, you know, like people donating it to the station like you, you know, for paying your $6,000 bill there, and get a bunch of investors where you have a huge number of people all putting in whatever, dollars, $10, $20, to help fund some of these things and get them off the ground. Then you got a whole army behind you of people that want to see this work.
That's quite possible. People are welcome to come to the station. They can talk to us with regards to the local Tesla Society. They can also look at Paul's website there and get in touch with him directly. And just so it's properly supervised and everything's done according to the laws, that might be a good idea.
Yeah, because you need the people behind this, not just Paul fighting the system, because look what they did to him already. You know, if you get a huge number of people behind this thing, there's going to be an outcry and trying to stop this guy. We want it working.
Well, one philosophical point I'd like to make is the large cartels prefer energy systems that are coordinated from the center, which is like nuclear power plants, gas distribution systems, oil distribution systems, whereas what we're proposing here is a totally decentralized view towards energy, where every home and every individual might take different routes. One person might use alcohol to fuel his tractors and cars because he's in agriculture area and he has access to a lot of fruit he can ferment. Another person might use sun. Another person might use solar furnaces. We have a guy today. We're going to interview about that. So there's many different ways that an individual can approach energy, and we're going to encourage all of them, and we're not partial to any of them.
Yeah, I call it the American People Energy Company.
Absolutely. There's a million ways to make energy.
I might add that there's Kickstarter.com, which does this online. You can use the power of the Internet for crowdsourcing funding.
Okay, Stan and Aptos, you're the next caller on the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO.
Hi, Michael. Hi. I'm Stan from Wrist Office, the big
right.
My business partner, Walt, has invented a couple years ago. It's a universal fuel engine, and actually it almost got built by the Department of Defense. There was a problem in Berkeley. But what it does is it utilizes the computerized compression. So basically, you can pour any fuel in the engine, and after a few strokes, it's figured out what the combustion level is of the material that's in that you're burning. So it's very simple. These valves are very expensive right now, but of course, in mass production, they would be quite useful. So just a little bit of a plug. If there's anybody out there and contacting us, they can get a hold of us online at Wrist Office.
So we'll come down to the station and sign our list here for the Tesla Society, because the whole purpose of Tesla Society is, with the help of KSCO, we're trying to set up a forum for all these inventors and mad scientists and all the other clever intellects we have in our county. And
okay. Stan, thanks very much for your call to the Saturday special. Here's Scott, the man who Scott Svalley is named after. Oh, he hung up.
Why don't we hang up?
Michael, we have a couple of our interviewees out there in the parking lot.
Okay, why don't you arrange it while we go to
why don't you talk to Paul
break?
A little more? Or are you going to have a...
Yeah, stay there, Paul. We got to do a commercial break, and Rick is busy screening calls now, so I guess we can't do that here. We'll go to our next caller, Steve in Aroma. Steve, you're on the Saturday special. You're on.
Hi, do we still have Paul on the air?
Yeah, Paul is here.
I'd love to ask Paul if you could just briefly explain how the process works inside the heat exchanger or the reactor. I've heard it called different names.
Wow. Paul, do you think you can do that like in 30 seconds or something? Because I don't want everybody to turn the radio because it's too technical.
Okay. The heat leaving the engine by the exhaust pipe goes away from the engine. Normally, by the time it gets to the gate reactor, it's about 500 degrees. Once it gets to the reactor with cold vapor being fed up the center of the exhaust pipe, the heat is pulled into the new fuel, expanding it as many as 100 times its normal size. That new fuel is then fed in with fresh air to the top of the engine. It's highly charged, and that new energy gives you 3 strokes out of a 4-stroke engine. It implodes, it explodes, and then the exhaust is pulled out of the engine.
It's a very clever device. Yes, I've seen a number of them. It's an amazing device.
Okay. Thanks very much for calling, Steve. Andrew, don't know where you're calling from, but you're next on the ups. Andrew is not there. He's not there. Yet.
Now, Michael, we've got one of the local companies was kind enough to come down and visit us. Dan, are you over there? If you could get Dan a microphone and a headset. Now, we've got a number of people out in the parking lot, folks, that have brought electric cars and different devices. I think Roy Kaler's got a Tesla coil. George Gabori from the San Francisco Tesla Society is supposed to bring a Geet device. I was hoping Dan could bring an electric car. I guess you weren't able to bring an electric car, Dan, but why don't you tell us a little about your company, because you sell electric vehicles, correct?
Yeah, I'm one of the few that's remaining, actually. There's been a mass extinction in the last couple of years with the various factors that have just not been very conducive to small companies that are selling electric vehicles.
Well, what type of electric vehicles are you selling?
I have 2 lines. They're both U.S. manufactured. One of them is a high-performance off-road vehicle. It's called the Bad Boy Buggy. It's 100% electric, very high power and torque. I carry another line called Columbia Park Car. They're made in Wisconsin. And we have a range of everything from a lowly golf cart to what I call a light truck replacement. It's a model called the Mega. And for it's an NEV, so it goes 25 miles per hour, but for a campus use or any kind of an institutional user, it can, in a vast majority of the cases, replace a light truck.
So you're just over here in Los Gatos, right?
Yeah, I've been in Los Gatos. I'm actually in the process of moving to an office in San Jose, but I'm still local.
Now, are you? Do you have like a display lot or something where people can see these vehicles?
Yeah, I do, and then I also do on-site demos. That's one of the things I like to do because there's nothing that sells EVs like using them in place of your gas vehicles because they just do such a great job.
So you have this totally mad electric off-road vehicle. How fast does it go, or what's it do?
Well,
it has huge off-road tires.
Yeah, it's got big mud tires. It's a pretty impressive beast. Everybody that drives it loves it because it's got just fantastic torque. It can climb like nobody's business. Its main feature is not top speed. It goes 25 miles per hour top speed, but in an off-road vehicle, nobody's driving that fast anyway. So the issue is how can it climb and can it get over the terrain and can it get you there in a comfortable fashion, and that's what this excels at.
So it could do the sort of things like a Hummer can do, right? Go through gullies and uphill and over Dale.
Yeah, absolutely. The vehicle was actually invented. The original purpose was as a hunting vehicle. So this is an interesting line that I like to carry because we really include a lot of different kinds of buyers. Electric vehicles are not inherently political. These vehicles are used primarily by people who are generally not you would consider the EV crowd, but they love them because they're quiet. So electric vehicles have so many different features that they can draw people in for all different reasons. You don't have to have a particular ideology, but they work for a lot of people.
Now, Michael, see, this is a great guy. He's local, Los Gatos, and he's got his own little electric car company that makes off-road vehicles. That's wonderful. And so how easy is it to people to come over and visit you in Los Gatos?
Well, in Los Gatos, we're...
What's your website or phone number? You might as well give it out so everyone knows where you are.
The website is electricmovement.com. That's the name of the company. You can email me at dan@electricmovement.com, and our phone number is 408-355-9940.
Well, we might be able to talk to you a little later, but we've got a number of other people we have to talk to, too. Hopefully, you'll sign our list for the Tesla Society, because we're trying to get a loose-knit network of people, all these scientists and inventors, so that they're working together. And I wish I had a chance to see one of your cars.
I would have loved to, too. The logistics didn't quite work out today, but we'll have to get you in one sometime, because you're going to love it.
Okay, that's fine. Thank
you.
Let's go
back to the phone lines now.
Thank you for coming on.
Andrew in Cayucos, California. Hello, Andrew.
Andrew.
Hello. Yes.
Oh, okay. This is one of the people I asked to call in. This is Andrew from Hydrogen Garage. How you doing, Andrew?
Okay.
So why don't you tell folks a little about your company?
Well, I started investigating hydrogen boosters on cars, you know, just to add to a gasoline or diesel engine in 2001. And then I had a experiment on my car, and then around April of 2007, I finally launched the website, the Hydrogen Garage Store. And so I had a product I figured I'd like to get out there. I called it the Clear Education Cell, like all this, so you can, you know, it's a clear container, you can watch all the bubble in action and everything. Kind of just get people informed about it. And at the time when I started, there's only like five companies online selling hydrogen boosters, and today there must be hundreds of them. So my thing was to help people do this business. So I was kind of glad there's hundreds of them. You know, I'm not competitive at all. We just need to get the word out.
Now, you're a friend of Bob Boyce, who's one of the great inventors of all these different types of hydrogen devices, correct?
Yeah. He come hang out with us for like a month and a half this summer. And you have all the people. He has 35 years of lab research. He's a scientist. He's an electronic expert. He's like a walking encyclopedia of information. Amazing mind this guy has. He worked at the Department of Defense most of his life. And he had a car running on water in the late 80s, and they came in and arrested him. Because back then you couldn't have any hydrogen running in your vehicles. And today they allow it. You can ride hydrogen in cars today. But they sure don't want you running 100% water running that car. So there's no road tax. There's no money in it for the government, so you can see why they don't want to get it out. But it should make it nice to get rid of the smog, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, correct. It should be pointed out that these hydrogen boosters, you know, we're not 100% certain on how efficient they are, but it is quite clear that they reduce emissions, because the hydrogen is such a clean-burning fuel when it's added with the standard gas fuel mixture inside a carburetor. You get a really clean burn. So it does increase horsepower, and it does lower the smog that's coming out the back end of the car. So there's definitely something there to be looked into.
Hey, Paul, someone wants me to ask you about the first law of thermodynamics. What about the first law of thermodynamics?
Well, off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you what it is. But I've had a lot of physicists come through my class saying it didn't apply, but it does when you start putting things in a vacuum.
Okay. Well, yeah, someone named Scott, northvalleyauto@gmail.com, has sent an inquiry email to us via ksco.com website.
Well, I think one point I'd like to make here is that there's a lot more fuel power in gasoline than people realize, and there is a lot of waste the way gasoline is burned in modern cars. And Paul's device is using more of the vapors from the gasoline, which means theoretically you can get a lot higher efficiency. I mean, that is the reason.
I'm also pulling electrons and other energy out of the atmosphere, which we've been able to detect as far as 60 feet.
Okay. It says, Well, let's talk. This is a very uncomplimentary email about Paul here, and so I guess I won't read it.
Well, the fact of the matter is, we'd like to point out that these energy devices are all under investigation. We're not advocating that this is the end all or be all. What we're trying to do here is get people to think about energy devices, whether it be solar or hydrogen or GEET devices. Ask yourself, do you really want to pay these high electrical bills and high gas bills the rest of your life? What we're proposing here is there are alternatives, whether they be electric cars like Dan Reuter sells.
I would like this very hostile person named Scott to call the radio station. He compliments me because he says, I really appreciate your commitment to local radio. Then he goes on to berate me for having Paul Pantone on. I've got a problem with people who don't have open minds, okay? Now, I don't know whether maybe Paul is crazy, and maybe Paul is the greatest thing that everybody should be paying wonderful attention to. So, I don't know. Scott, I don't know whether you're the Scott who called in before and somehow hung up right when we took the call, but I really wish you would call up right now to 479-1080, because I really want to talk to you on the air about open-mindedness, okay?
Well, let's talk a little to Andrew. Are you still on the line there, Andrew?
Yes.
Okay, because we're going to talk to you just a few minutes more, and then we're going to have to move on. So Andrew, what's your website? Why don't you tell people how they can get a hold of you?
HydrogenGarage.com. And for the truckers, we have HydrogenTrucker.com. And we have a trucking show that my friend Scott from Central Valley HHO is making. And, you know, as we go along, we improve as we go our design. And this is a really good one. And he guarantees you 10% savings on a diesel rig. Guys are getting 17%. One guy's getting 24%. And it's just a combination of all the designs. And Bob approves it. Of all the people in the world, that guy seems to be knows the most about this. And
yeah, folks, you can, if anyone wants more information on this, you can look at Andrew's website, which is hydrogengarage.com. Or if you look on YouTube and type in Bob Boyce, you'll see that Bob Boyce is a very fine scientist who did a lot of research on the use of hydrogen to improve performances of standard vehicles. With that being said, Andrew, thank you for calling in. And
sure.
We look at your website. It's a beautiful website. That's hydrogengarage.com. And that was Andrew. It's Batty, right? Thank you for calling in, Andrew.
Okay, appreciate it.
Michael, why don't you take over for a few minutes, and I'll go on the lot
there, sure,
and
will.
We'll get see who's going to come on next.
Rick, we're ready for the commercial break. Stay with us, Monterey, Santa Cruz, Silicon Valley, and KSCO land in its entirety. We will be back after these commercial messages. Okay, it's official. The most popular internet audio and video personality in the world, Alex Jones himself, in person, is coming to KSCO Country for an exclusive speaking engagement on Sunday, October 24th, starting at 6 p.m. at the Coconut Grove Ballroom on Beach Street in Santa Cruz. Though it is exclusive, we do not want to exclude you from attending and enjoying this epic KSCO Presents event. Tickets are $10.80 each and are available only online at the KSCO.com website. Click on the banner on the homepage. You can't miss it. Now, there's a good chance we will sell out, so don't wait and don't miss out. Buy your Alex Jones event tickets now by logging on to the KSCO.com website. Questions or suggestions? Email alex@KSCO.com. That's alex@KSCO.com. See you at the Grove Sunday, October 24th.
You might not be able to say it very easily. Apiary, that's what she said to me. Let me just tell you something about the rest. If you're into bees and beeswax, then you're into Pacific Crest.
Give the most this holiday season by giving the gift of honeybees. Hi, I'm Dana Mum of Pacific Crest Apiary's Honey Farm and Gift Store. Come out for a visit. We're just a stone's throw from Aptos at 875 Calabasas Road.
You'll find Dana's handcrafted beeswax candles in many styles, lots of delicious honeys, and a gift store stocked to the rafters with the kinds of gifts your loved ones will keep forever.
A proud member of Think Local First.
Back for me. Pacific Crest.
Pacific Crest.
apiary.
Oh, how sweet.
Open Mondays to Wednesdays, noon to 5:30, and weekends 10 to 6. Directions at PacificCrestApiaries.com.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Collier, a web designer and internet marketing specialist. I heard an ad that's been running on KSCO, the one about the grocery business affiliate marketing opportunity. I thought it was interesting, so I got on the phone with JR, the guy running the ad. The system he described to me seemed like a neat way to make a little extra cash and help cover our monthly expenses. A bright ray shining through a dark economy. So I decided to join and get to work, using my internet background and experience to start running my own ads for this opportunity on the web. Since I learned about this business from a KSCO radio ad, it made sense to run my own ad on the KSCO.com website. Don't be down and out. Check it out and learn all about this business. Go to KSCO.com and watch the animated video in the upper right corner of the homepage. I invite you to join me, making some money and having some fun.
Hi, I am Jeff Taylor, and I want to be your representative in Congress. I am an independent thinker running as the Republican candidate. Like 90% of President Obama's cabinet members, Sam Farr is a career politician who believes in high taxes and big government. It's no wonder the deficit and unemployment rates are skyrocketing. Let's face it, people are struggling and the future looks grim. Our current Congressman, Sam Farr, is part of the problem. Unlike the Farrs, my family, the Taylor family, has been building businesses, growing our local economy, creating jobs, and generating those tax dollars that career politicians love to spend. It's time to replace them with problem solvers like me. I will work to bring about economic stability, create new jobs, and secure our future. Please visit my website. Tell me what you think. And join my team at www.taylorforcongress.com. Vote Jeff Taylor for Congress this November. I will go to work for you. Thank you. I'm Jeff Taylor, running for the 17th Congressional District, and I endorse this message.
Your electrical problems are no problem when you take direct action and call Direct Electric. Hello, I'm Priscilla Christie.
And I'm Dave Christie. From blown fuses to power outages to remodels, Direct Electric will fix your electrical problems. And Direct Electric will do it right the first time at the right price with no service charge. Listen.
I'm Gretchen from Woodstock Pizza. It's the best pizza in town. We were having problems with some of our electric stuff in our store, and we heard that they are a great business, so we gave them a call. They fixed our problem. They responded immediately, and we were really happy with the work that they did for us. We are friends for life.
Your electrical problems are no problem when you take direct action and call Direct Electric.
If you are in real trouble, ask for Direct Electric's 60-minute emergency service. Direct Electric, that's the name. Service and quality, that's what's in the name. Direct Electric, 425-1407, 425-1407.
It's time to unravel the mysteries of health coverage with Pamela Fugit-Hetrick of DCD Financial and Insurance Services, an authorized independent agent for Anthem Blue Cross.
Health coverage plans are a lot like cable TV options. The least expensive plans give you the basic coverage. The most expensive plans give you all the bells and whistles. If you don't like paying for all the bells and whistles, consider a health savings account eligible plan, or HSA. HSA premiums can be up to 50% less, and the HSA account provides a federal tax-free way to save for future health expenses. Use the power of my experience as a health insurance professional. We'll talk over the quotes and make sure that you choose the best coverage at the most affordable rates.
Unravel the mysteries of your health coverage with Pamela Fugit-Hetrick of DCD Financial and Insurance Services. Go to healthexchangeforall.com for a free quote and then give Pamela a call. That's healthexchangeforall.com.
California Insurance License 0D75558. Anthem Blue Cross is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross Association.
You're listening to KSCO, serving SoCal, Soledad, and Lucia.
And we're in the closing 5 minutes of the Saturday special, but there's a lot more ahead on Perspectives for the hour from 12 noon to 1 p.m. And we invite you to come on down to KSCO parking lot, where we have on display a number of electric cars and alternative energy devices. And we thank Tom Quinn for the idea. Tom has been trying to influence the KSCO to do a lot more in the way of public and community events, and we thank him for that great idea. We should have been doing it for years.
Well, so, we thank you for being open to Michael. We gotta have more fun.
Right, absolutely.
That's
and there's
the law.
Just so much. There's so much to be displayed, and so many ideas to be exchanged and so forth here through and on your favorite radio station. Want to take this opportunity to thank the special sponsor of the Saturday special. That would be the California Grill Restaurant at the corner of Airport and Freedom Boulevards in Freedom. You get right off at, if you're coming from Santa Cruz, and it's well worth a 15-minute drive to go to breakfast, lunch, or dinner at the California Grill, where you will find the most delicious. There's never been a bad meal served there, I mean, that I know of. And any time I've gone there, I've gone away fat and happy. So their chicken with artichokes is absolutely to die for. Oh, my God, there's nothing like it. And they have the chef from the old Adolph's restaurant in Santa Cruz and the menu from there. So for those of you who were like me, who were very disappointed when Adolph's, the Santa Cruz institution, closed down a few years back, take heart. That wonderful food and the menu and the chef is at California Grill at the corner of Airport and Freedom Boulevards. And go there for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Open from 7 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. 7 days a week. And be sure to tell them MZ sent you. And be sure to thank them for sponsoring the Saturday special on your favorite radio station. Back to the phones we go now. Glenn in Santa Cruz, welcome to the Saturday special. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. Thank you for having me. Adolph's, the Radolph's, the raviolas were the greatest.
Oh, yeah.
Haven't been able to replace them.
And they're the salad dressing with chunks of tangy tomatoes. Oh, just really, really, really good. Anyhow, go to the California Grill.
My reason for calling, Michael, this is only my second time in. I'm local here. And is the hydrogen fuel cell cars, they were being manufactured, I think maybe back in 1970, and they've gone out of existence as far as hearing very much about it, but it's been my desire, my heart's desire to see them perfected and up and going. And I just wanted to put this thought out that one of the reasons that I'm thinking, it's only maybe in my mind, is that the oil companies, if we ever had hydrogen fuel cells to come out and they took over the energy, the big oil, big powerful oil companies would go out of business.
Sure.
And basically, I think that they're controlling our society.
No question about it. We got to do a whole program on that. Hate to cut you off, Glenn. We got to go to Scott in Boulder Creek. I'll be our last caller. Go ahead, Scott.
Oh, God bless you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You
got
to hurry. There's only a minute.
Yeah, this is proof that the government and energy together is an ugly monster who will cruelly destroy any and all who stand in their way. God bless Paul for standing up. We need to fight this fascism.
Clearly, you're not the Scott who wrote the nasty email about Paul. He's a chicken and wouldn't call back when I invited him to.
Clearly, an idiot. Yeah. Tea Party America, rock on. We know the truth. Let not these fools fool us. God bless you, Michael.
Okay, thank you very much. Paul Pantone, thanks. Continued success to you.
Thank you for talking to us today, Paul. God bless. Keep
okay.
up the good work.
And that's it for now for the Saturday special. But do stay over. Do stay over. Tom will be back right after the news.
That's all, folks.
KSCO, Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 12 noon. Here's Fox News.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen Regal. Matthew has weakened to a tropical depression, but the damage is already done.
Matthew drenched Central America, toppling power lines and leaving thousands without power in Honduras. The government declared a state of preventive alert as thousands more stock up on supplies in preparation for 3 days of torrential rains. In Nicaragua, 10,000 people were evacuated. The country's president says all emergency structures are on alert as it's already dealing with flooding in several areas. Forecasters say the storm will next hit Guatemala and Belize and could bring 6 to 10 inches of rain before it weakens, with the possibility of flash floods and mudslides. David Nuttall, Fox News Radio.
Tropical storm Lisa is about 385 miles off the Cape Verde Islands. It is wet in the Midwest. Major flooding has forced many out of their homes in southern Minnesota and southwestern Wisconsin. There's hope, though. Clear skies are above, and if that holds, people will be able to return to their homes. Minnesota resident Corey Johnson says he's seen a home filled with 4 feet of water.
I guess we're just going to have to see what happens. And hopefully pray for the best, and Mother Nature's good to us.
The Minnesota River is still rising, causing many roads in the state to be shut down. The moratorium on settlements in the West Bank runs out tomorrow. Still no agreement between Israel and the Palestinians on what to do next.
Clashes took place between anti-settlement protesters and the Israeli military. The protesters are calling on a complete boycott of all settlement products. According to an eyewitness, the Israeli military also arrested an AP photographer for, quote, not obeying the rules. A journalist says he was asked to step back and was never given a chance to do so before being beaten by Israeli soldiers.
Fox's Rena Ninen reporting. Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas spoke before the UN General Assembly today, saying settlements could be a roadblock to peace. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
When you're on the go and need to know, you can be in touch with Fox News Radio live. Anytime, any place. You can skip back in time for up to 2 hours. Listen to free podcasts. Keep up to date with the very latest scrolling news headlines. Or listen to the latest news. Whether you're an iPhone, iPod Touch, or Android phone user, access Fox News Radio now at mobile.foxnewsradio.com. Mobile.foxnewsradio.com. Don't be caught with your apps down.
Issues that affect us all. Decisions that will change our country. Choices that will determine our future. The all-important midterm elections. No one covers it like Fox News Channel. On Scene. Getting the facts fair and balanced. The team America trusts. Plus, no spin, fearless analysis, and smart insight. No one else's coverage even comes close. That's why Fox News Channel is America's election headquarters. Period.
President Obama used his weekly address to say Republicans aren't thinking about what's best for the country when they're talking tax cuts.
Instead of cutting taxes for the wealthiest few, tax breaks we cannot afford. I've called for tax cuts for middle-class families who saw their income shrink by 5% during the last lost decade.
Republicans say the focus should be on cutting spending.
This pledge focuses largely on three things: a plan to create jobs, end economic uncertainty, and make America more competitive.
California Republican Congressman Kevin McCarthy speaking for the GOP this week. A new poll from the Associated Press finds many Americans aren't happy with President Obama's health care reform efforts. The main reason, people who think the law doesn't go far enough. 25% of those polled don't like reform because they say it falls short, and about 20% don't like the law because they don't like the federal government being involved in health care. The poll was done for the AP by Stanford University. Put down the remote and learn something today. It's free.
All day today, over 1,500 museums opening their doors for free for the 6th annual Museum Day put on by Smithsonian Magazine. About 90 of the venues have a partnership with the Smithsonian Institution to show artifacts on loan from the museums in Washington. In Baltimore, visitors can see George Washington's false teeth at the National Museum of Dentistry. They're on loan from the National Museum of American History. At the U.S. Space and Rocket Center in Alabama, visitors can see a Saturn V rocket. Lori London, Fox News Radio.
It appears that no one wants the nose of the Statue of Liberty. A copper cast of the tip of Lady Liberty's nose went up for auction yesterday and went unsold. The tip was one of four made during the statue's restoration back in the 80s. It had been expected to fetch as much as $200,000, but nobody wanted it. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
12:05 on this Saturday afternoon. You are tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. I'm Rick O'Shea with an update on your Central Coast roadways. Big problem of the day started on northbound 101 in South Gilroy at Highway 25 after a big rig lost a load of tomatoes, causing big backup in the area. Traffic is backed up well over 2 miles. We've had some reports that northbound 101 backed up south of the 129 exit, so a big problem in the area. Also on South 101, this one just north of East San Martin Avenue, two-car crash, CHP is on scene. Also, defective traffic signals, Capitola Road at 17th Avenue, CHP on scene there as well. It'll be sunny and warm today with highs in the 80s, north winds about 5 miles per hour, 74 degrees. Outside KSCO Studios here in Santa Cruz, 6 minutes past the hour, time for the Perspectives Radio Show on KSCO.
Good afternoon. You've tuned into the Perspectives Radio Show. My name is Donald Davidson. I'll be your co-host today. Joining me in the studio to host the show is Tom Quinn. Thanks for joining us today, Tom. We have quite a few guests we will have on. If you had been listening in the last hour, last half of the Saturday special, you would have picked up on some of the guests. We're having another alternative energy show, and we have with us in the studio, Mike Brown of ElectroAuto.com. We'll also have in Roy Kaler, who was with us last month.
In a little while.
Let's see, folks, just to give you an idea of what's going on in the show today, we're kind enough to have Michael Zerling help us, and also Al, Dr. Future, is here, and Sun. And have a seat here, Al. Can we get another headset for Al?
Yeah.
So the whole point of this show, folks, is to get people to think about alternative energy. We admit we're not perfect. We're not clear on all the details here. There are aspects of GEET we're not sure about. There's aspects of the hydrogen boosters we're not sure about. But the point of the show is to get people enthusiastic and to think about different alternative technologies. We're also very fortunate to have George Gabori here from the San Francisco Tesla Society. In a little bit, we'll interview him in more detail. We're going to open this part of the show up with Mike Brown and Sherry Prangy from ElectroAuto.com. And, Mike, you're a local guy. You've been building electric cars forever, right?
31 years, ElectroAutomotive has been in business.
Wow, that's great. I would point out,